And basically, I think what I'm getting to is basically this happened from I was learning with Adam over the last year. So basically, you know, it came up some basic questions about, it started off really as an introduction to Talmud, the study of Talmud, but basically it moved towards a discussion of some of the most basic ideas about the Masorah. Right, so, you know, there are certain things that that people take for granted when they learn, when they're learning, right, whether they're in Rambam, whether they're in Gemara. So they take for granted certain things, and very often things just sort of go unsaid, and they're never made clear. So if a person's wearing Gemara, it sort of just becomes this amorphous kind of text. You have this idea that, well, there's a Mishnah and there's a Gemara, but aside from that, you sort of get lost. So some people realize, oh, sometimes the Gemara brings down other Mishnayos, or sometimes the Gemara will bring down a Tosefta, right, it'll bring down a Bereisa from somewhere, right, or it'll ask a certain question based on a topic. But it's sort of, you get lost, I mean, in terms of what's the Gemara trying to do, where are we going, what are these things, what is a Tosefta, where did this thing come from, what is a Bereisa, right, and for that matter, what's a Mishnah, right, what's a Gemara, I mean, what are these things. So aside from just, you know, historically, what happened, so that's definitely an important thing to go through, because, you know, we're not so interested in history, but these things occurred in history. I mean, these are things that happened. In other words, we didn't always have a time. We didn't always have Mishnah. We didn't always have such episodes. But in other words, there was a time where, so everybody knows, there's an idea there's Torah Shabbat Zahav, and there's Torah Shabbat Zahav. So there's a written Torah and a oral Torah. So it seems originally, and that's what there was. There was no such thing as Talmud. People didn't go to yeshiva and learn Talmud Bavli, right? And one of the people in Bavli, right? They didn't learn the Talmud Bavli, right? So, right? I mean, they're basically finished within, you know, 100, 200 years from each other, depending on how you judge when they were completed. So there was final editing that they went through. So one topic that we should eventually go through is, you know, basic progression in history. We're not, you know, going to be nitpicking on dates, but the definition of what these different things are. So, and the first thing I think is really important is defining what perishable thought and perishable power. So far the best text that I've found that deals with these subjects is the Rambam. So basically the Rambam, the Tukadama, the Mishnah Torah, so that's one place. And then there's the Rambam, his Makadama to the Parish of Mishnayos, which is another place where he deals with a lot of these things in great depth. And he makes it his point to really give very precise definitions about what each of these things are. So figure it together, you know, we can go through some of these sources and try to offer definitions and since we're dealing with some of the most basic ideas, all the most basic ideas are the hardest to divide. Like, it's very hard to, you know, it's very hard to give a definition which really captures what we're talking about. So we'll try to approach it from different standpoints. I mean, it'll be, like, you go through a number of different definitions. We'll try to describe it. Right? So that's basically where we'll start. Okay? So, any questions on that? So you're basically pointing out the obvious point, which seems to be some critical path. The difference between them seems to be pretty simple. Meaning, one's written, one's law.
Right.
So, but that's really, in other words, that's really a, it's true that it's very easy to point out the difference between the two. Right? But precise, but once we get into a little bit of a deeper question of definition, or why do we need the two things? Why do we need Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat? Why is one, what's the reason, what would be the cause of something being an oral tradition as opposed to a written tradition? How does it change the thing? Right? And we were, right? You see what I'm saying? Like, how does it know it's both our kind of Torah, right? Meaning, each one has the feature of being an oral tradition, one has the feature of being a written tradition. But how does it affect it? Right? How does it change the character of the thing? Right? You see what I'm saying? So even though it's very easy to point out differences between the two, but to really, hit the nail on the head, and exactly, so what does it really do to it, right? So we're going to try to explore it a little bit deeper. I'm not saying that we're going to get to the ultimate depth, but at least to begin the process of trying to understand these things. Okay? So, okay. Other than if you can imagine, since all your years in yeshiva are basically filled with the study of first of all tech, so you can imagine it would be important to know what first of all tech is. That would be hard to say. In other words, you already know what first of all tech is. How are you going to know whether you learned first of all tech well or didn't learn it well? You have to have some way of knowing whether you were successful in your endeavor. What are you studying? Am I studying first of all tech right now? What do you do? Also, sometimes it's difficult to know when does the, what is the precise line between the two? In other words, if we read the Torah out loud, how do we know how to read it properly? So maybe that's the first about that. Right? It's something that we say, how do we know how to read it properly? That seems to be an oral tradition. And how do we know when Sukkot can begin and that, right? So just try to get these things a little bit more precise. Right? Let me start by, the text where I'd like to start is the Rambam. So there's the Hakdama to the Mishneh Torah. Okay, so everybody has it? So everybody took a look at it? Everybody looked at it. How far did you guys get? Why don't we read together why don't we read a little bit together right now? And then we'll bring up questions and try to answer them. Okay, so the Rambam begins he begins his Hakdama to the Mishneh Torah, and he begins all of the 14 books of the Mishneh Torah, and he also begins all of his other books with V'Shem Hashem Kilola. Right? So it's a quote by, has to do with Avraham Avinu. So if I was giving a shiur in Rambam, so then we would discuss that, what the Shem Hashem Kilolam is talking about. And the Rambam says, "As goy vosh, perhaps ethio kol mitzvah sefa," which is a quote from Tehillim. So in other words, "Then I will not be ashamed when I gaze upon all of your mitzvahs." So also, if you were giving a Rambam here, it would be extremely important to talk about exactly why does he put that here. And it seems on one hand it sort of brings you into the idea of the introduction, and also brings you into the idea of the entire Mishneh Torah, what it's talking about. So, but we'll begin with the Kol Mitzvot, since our purpose is to understand Rambam's definition of Torah about Pentateuch and Torah. Okay, so he says, Kol HaMitzvot. So all of the Mitzvot. So we're not going to translate Mitzvot for now, alright? So, because that's what that's part of what we're looking to define. And everybody knows it comes from the Shoresh, right? It means to command, right? So, but we call it mitzvot. Shenidu lo l'moshe b'sinai. They were given to Moshe on Sinai. With a rush on nidu. They're given with their heirush. So we're also going to leave that untranslated, right? So there's no heirush. Right, so often it's explained as being some sort of explanation, right? So some sort of explanation. Okay, so in other words, there were two things. Or, actually, was he given two things or was he given one thing?
Two.
Well, what was he given?
Didn't say the equations, it was
the equations. In other words, if I said, if you order a hamburger and you ask for ketchup, right? So how many things did you order?
One thing.
So you really ordered one thing, and it comes with something, In other words, you get the fritz that will improve the burger in some way. So it seems there's one thing. In other words, Moshe was given the sauce, and with it, he was given something called a pirush. Right? So it seems the main thing was mitzvos, and accidentally there was pirush. Right? So essence was mitzvos, and accidentally there's pirush as well. Not by accident, it wasn't an accident that it happened, God did it on purpose. Right, but accidents and neurological events. Okay, so Shneamar, but you're all familiar with that, because you get a issue with HR. Okay, so Shneamar, it says, Ben Elchai, Ufa, to Ephim, Vakara, and Mitzvah. So it says, this is from Shemos. So the context, anybody look up the context? Okay, so anybody know the context of the context? So it's in Shemos. So this was after the Ten Commandments were received. So, after the Ten Commandments were received, then there was Mishpatim, Parshas Mishpatim, which was the first set of laws that Moshe was to tell the Jewish people. And then after that, there was the mass reception of the Torah, and then and then Moshe was invited to come back up to the mountain, right? And he was going to receive on the mountain the tablets, right? He's going to receive the lukas. So Hashem says to Moshe, come up to the mountain. Then lukas of heaven brought Torah on mitzvah. And I will give to you the tablets of stone, and the Torah, and the mitzvah. Right? So we leave those untranslated as well. Right? So I'm going to give you, so it sounds like three things. So I'm going to give you lukas ha'aven, the Torah, and the mitzvah. Okay, so the Rambam says Torah, zu Torah shebitzah. So what's Torah? That's Torah shebitzah. U mitzvah, zu perusha, and mitzvah, this is perush. We have this idea of perush again, right? So Hashem is going to give Moshe. It sounds like Hashem is going to give him lukos adam, but the Rambam leaves that aside. Seems we know what that is. Right, it says, what's Torah? That's Torah Shabbat. What's Mitzvah? That's Perish. That's Perusha. Okay, so Rambam goes on. It's Yivanu, La'asot HaTorah Alfi HaMitzvah. And we are commanded to do the Torah according to the Mitzvah. Okay? So, what is that command? Right? It says, with Yivanu, La'asot HaTorah Alfi HaMitzvah. We're commanded to do the Torah according to the Mitzvah. But it almost sounds like a strange, it's a very odd statement, right? We're commanded to do the Torah according to the mitzvah. Are we doing the Torah? I mean, are they the same thing? In keeping the Torah, I'm doing the mitzvah. So it seems they're not the same thing, right? So, okay, so, but it's funny the way he says it.
It seems
like all the loop. Yeah, right. Right, well, what's going on? We're commanded to do the Torah according to the mitzvah. Right, I mean, nobody thinks, it sounds like there's this mitzvah thing, which is how we do the Torah. Okay? In other words, almost the way that you can do it, there's this thing called the Torah, and the Torah alone, you wouldn't know what to do. Right? So how do we do the Torah? Whatever that means. So it means, that's the mitzvah. Right? Okay. So it sounds like, in other words, you can conceive of Torah separately from the idea of action. Well, separately from the idea of what you have to do. Right? So, mitzvah zu, he integrates Torah Shabbat. And this mitzvah is called Torah Shabbat. So it sounds like now, it's no longer mitzvot, but it's mitzvah. This mitzvah is Torah Shabbat. Okay. So, just read the, I'll just read the next little piece. So it's the in your edition in the Vilna, it's not so good because it makes the entire introduction one paragraph. Right? I think it makes one paragraph or separate. How is it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 paragraphs?
40.
Right, it's 7 days of the week, right? But really the Rambam, in the actual, in the actual, in the good edition of the Rambam, the Sefer Amuga, as it's known to the New Jerseyans amongst us. So it really has 44 halachos. Oh, it's the same way the Rambam divides up the Mishnah Torah in halachos. The Rambam in the Sefer Amuga, I don't think that there are numbers of the halachos. He just separates them into case. I'm pretty sure he doesn't write Aleph, Beis, Gimel. He just separates them into case. He does the same thing in the Haftarah. So it seems that he breaks it up into 44 separate halachos. So that was the end of the first halacha. That's the end of the halacha. So Rambam himself explains why he breaks things up into halachos to make it easier to remember. But it seems Rambam knew how memory works, and he's going to divide it up somewhat conceptually. In other words, it'll be pieces that can be taken separately. He's not going to cut something off in the middle. Sometimes there are occasions where halacha is very long because it takes a long time to say at one point. So we'll go to the next halacha, which is in the Rambam, which is it says Kol Hatorah Kasta Moshe Rabbeinu Kodem Shiyamus B'Chasav Yadav. So now we know what Torah is, which is something which is written. So when did Moshe Rabbeinu write that down? Before he died in his own hand. Okay, but also Sefer the Kol Shev B'Sheva. And he gave a Sefer to every one of the tribes. The Sefer Ebon, Menub, Aron, Mahed. And one Sefer he put in the Aron, or next to the Aron, as a testimony, as a witness. Shneamar. Because the Sefer Torah of Zos, Santa Mozo, Mitzad Aron, Bit Hashem, Location, Mediation, Bechal. Right, so in other words, basically the command where you're supposed to put the Sefer Torah next to the other. Okay. Let's do the next one, okay? Okay, so the mitzvah, Shehi Perish the Torah. So goes back on this again. The mitzvah, which is the Perish HaKamra, Lo Tatsva, he didn't write it down. So what did he do with it? Right, sounds like you could do something with it. Elotiva Bam Kanim Yoshua Lashar Kol Yisrael. Now he commanded it to the elders, to Yahushua, and the rest of the Jewish people. Shneamar, as called the Varsha and Ochim Saves Kum Hoso Tishmiru Lazos. So all of the thing that I commanded, Hoso Tishmiru Lazos, it you should keep to do. Lo so Sefala, Lo so Grumman. Don't add up to it, and don't subtract from it. The Mipnei Zeh, Mikreis Torah Shabbat Pah. And because of this, it's called Torah Shabbat Pah. Okay? So in other words, another Rambam has defined our two terms. Okay, so he told us the first thing which is called Torah, the Torah Shabbat Sav, and there's the idea of Torah Shabbat Pah. Here he gives us a little bit more of a reason. So, of course, how come we didn't know before why it was called the Torah Shabbat Pah? Right? In other words, we knew it was Torah Shabbat Pah before because, right, it seems because one is written and one is wrong, right? Okay, but we'll come back to that. Alright? Okay, so now let's think about it a little bit. So, there should be a number of questions here. Okay. That's what I guess, think about for a moment. Excellent question. Right. He starts off, and what did Moshe Rabbeinu receive? He received mitzvahs, which are perish. So, on one hand, mitzvah is something which requires perish.
Right.
But on the other hand, mitzvah is the perish. That's impossible. Right? So, it's an impossibility. Right? So it's a logical impossibility. You can't both need perish and be the parish, right? Well, that doesn't make sense, right? Okay, so I think the first most obvious question we have to ask, right? Okay. Right, so let's think if you guys think of any more. Are there two things or are there one thing? Right, is there one thing? So it sounds like you're saying that there are two things here. There's Torah Shabbat Sav and there's Torah Shabbat Pah. But on the other hand, if you go back to the first sentence, right, it says, it sounds like there's one thing which has something along with, you know, which comes along with something. Right? So, how many things are there? And of course, if you ask in terms of purpose, I mean, what's the need of all this, right? And why do we have, why do we need Torah Shabbat Zav and Torah Shabbat Tav? Just a one thing, right? I have Torah Shabbat Zav, which doesn't mean write it in such a way that it doesn't need a page, right? And it sounds like, in other words, if something needs page, right? In other words, in general, I mean, I'm not saying this about the Torah, but there, if I give you a book, and I say, I'm giving you this book, but you're going to need a page to understand it. Like, what kind of, so I wrote you this book here, but you're not, like, why don't you just write me a book that's complete and I don't need to buy another book to come along with it, right? Or, if you want to give me a book, give me a book, don't give me a whole long lecture along with it, right? So which one do you want me to, which one do you want, right? So sort of, or, just have something, have an oral law, right? Don't have a written law at all.
Explain to me
what's going on. So what's going on here? We have these two things. We have a written law and we have an oral law. Right? How many Torahs do we have? We have two, right? So what's going on? It seems a little strange. It has to be explained. Right? Okay. Yeah. You want to know what's the importance here of telling us why do we need to know that he, you want to know why we need to know that he wrote it down? No. Why do we need to know
that he wrote it, right?
Let's say Pinchas wrote it down.
Yeah, and also
who cares if they don't have it? I mean, why do we need to know? I mean, why is the Rambam bringing up all these details?
Yeah.
Right? Why do we have to know that it was in his own handwriting? In other words, if it's Torah Shabbat Tzav, and it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, all right, we know it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, so let somebody else write it down. Why does it matter that he wrote it down in his own hand? Yeah, but so he could say to somebody, right, so we have the example of the Sefer Amuga, right, so the Rambam didn't write it, so somebody else wrote it, and he just signed it at the end, he checked it from my book, right? So, then why can't, what? He signed it at the end. He said, my student, he copied it for my copy, and it's reliable, So, I don't know if he went back and read over the whole thing, to make sure, trust the guy,
He doesn't mention it after the board on the scene, isn't it? Moshe put it in the R. Shimon La'e.
Right.
Sort of like, that's the definitive. In the example of the Mugha that he said, this is good, it's checked off the mind thing.
Yeah, there's one of the
there is something about Torah Shabbat Tzav has to be definitive.
Okay. Alright, so this is the beginning of an answer. Alright, so let's keep that in mind. I think you're making a good point, right? I mean, it seems there's some, in other words, the direction to answer Ken's question is that you would have to say, this in some way is furthering our understanding of what Torah Shabbat Tzav is, right? So this is necessary to understand what this thing is. So in other words, this would add to our understanding that we have previously why do you have Torah Shabbat Tzav and Torah Shabbat Tav. So this would sort of be a direction to go in to try and find out what do you need Torah Shabbat Tzav for? What is its purpose? What is the idea? Okay, so. You want to know does this pasuk prove the Rambam's statements?
Right.
Because the Rambam says, "Kol mitzvos from the middle of the month of the scene of the Kiddush and Mit." What? There's three pasukim. There's this pasuk. Oh, that one, right? But that pasuk is just explaining how we know that he gave one sefer to every single shevet and he put one by the ark.
Mm-hmm.
So that one definitely seems to prove that, right?
And the next one, well, I have one story, and I've seen the seven hundred.
Right. So,
yes, we gave it to the Chinese, so I'm closer.
Well, okay, so we should look at the context of that, of the topic in Gimel. But I definitely see the, in so by your, we'll say, take the first one, you're saying it says, call the social name, we'll look at the scene in the Kerush. And it seems sad that the proof is, because it says, and I will give you the Luke 7, and the Torah, and the Mitzvah. Right? So how does this prove that Moshe Rabbeinu got mitzvos with a parish?
Right, I'm going to say that, like, oh, it's like to say, like, four of that is mitzvos, and you would think that maybe four is coming to explain the list of seven.
Right. Right, but then we have a problem, because the whole way that he learns it sounds like that's not what happened.
Right.
So, you got parish of mitzvah. In other words, you didn't get, according to him, what does mitzvah mean? Mitzvah means parish. But we want proof that he got mitzvah and parish.
Right.
But then he tells us, so, okay, we got parish of mitzvah and we got parish. So, but it's not right. It's again going back to the lack of connection between the first statements, where he talks about mitzvot with parish, and then he comes back and he proves to us that there's parish of mitzvah and there's the parish of parish of mitzvah. And he seems to be very adamant about the fact. So it doesn't sound, in other words, you can read it and say, ah, it's a Chazal he's quoting, and it's a drush, right? He's quoting a Chazal that sort of just, that identifies these two things, maybe that's what's going on. But it seems he's very particular that mitzvah is hish, right? That's something that the Rambam is very particular about. In other words, he repeats it a couple of times, right? He says, he says in the third halakha, which you guys don't have, he says, Va-mitzvah, she-perush ha-Torah, lo-kas. In other words, he keeps coming back to the mitzvah, which is perush ha-Torah. So there's a further proof, which I saw Nachum Rabinovich. So he wrote a commentary in the Rambam. He points out, so if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Shechita, so the Rambam says, interesting, we have Hilchot Shechita? Let's see, where is, okay. So the Hilchot Shechita is in the first paragraph. Do you guys want to open up to it? You guys got it?
Mm-hmm.
The Hilchot Shechita. It's the end of Sefer Kedusha. Mm-hmm. The last halakha. They don't have it? Okay, so let me read to it. So it says like this. It says, it's in the fourth halakha, if you guys want to look it up. It says, he says, Lita Zulamir Bakora. Stam, Sarit Lepare Tota. So it says the slaughtering, which the Torah just says plainly, you need to explain it. Right? The Lita, the Torah just says, in talking about Shita, just says Lita, just as we saw it. What's slaughter? You have to explain what that means. So the Lita, the Eza Makraminam Hema Shoshka. So you have to know in which place on the hand will be reset. The Kamhushi Hashita, and what's the quantity of the Shita? The Iza Dabar Shofa, what do we shaft with? Or Makai Shofa, and when do we shaft? The Heikha Shofa, and the Pita Shofa, okay, I'm not. Okay, so he goes on. The Kolat Rachama Ilu, Sivanu Batora the Omar. So, about all these things, we are commanded in the Torah, and it says, there's a Vakhtam, the Bikara from the Tzolakha. So it says, you shall slaughter, right, from your flock, right, all these things. Kasher tzibisika v'achalta v'sharecha. As I commanded you, and you will eat in your gates. Okay, so the Rambam picks up on the effect that says, in other words, to be told what does it say, you should slaughter the way I commanded you. Okay, so he picks up on that. So the Rambam says, shekola divarim ha'ilu al-pech zivana. Because all of these things, on orally they were commanded, right? On pet Edoman. Kishar Torah Shabbat Pet. Like the rest of Torah Shabbat Pet. Shehinik is Mitzvah, which is called Mitzvah. Kemosh Biyarnu Beskilas Kibozeh. As we explained in the beginning of this Kibozeh. So it seems like an important point. In other words, people, you'll read through the Hakdam, you think, oh, the Rambam is just trying to tell us, you have to read the Sefer, it's about that, tell us quickly about the Masorah, let's get on, let's read the whole office. But it seems like he's relying on this Hakdam in the middle of explaining the Hilchot Shechita. Says, as we explained in the Hakdam to the Mishnah Torah. And I think the Avraham ben Rambam also, when he's talking about, I think, the same pasuk, quotes his father, says, as my father said in the beginning, yeah, so that's on the it's on this pasuk in the Avraham ben Rambam. Okay, it says, as my father said, let me just find that. Let me see what is it. talking about the topic of the end of Rabinovich also quotes it. He brings out a lot of sources that are pertinent to any spot in the Rama. There's a quote, the author of the Rama, he says, on the topic of the end of the same topic, says, Hera Shamati Kim, who was the Balaam of Sorah, the Hain, Balaam Tamar, so, Kataboso, so, Abamori Gal, the Rosh 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 my father, basically that his father explained what this Pasuk means in the beginning of his Tiber HaGadol, I mean the Yad HaZak of the Mishnah Torah. Seems like an important definition that what does mitzvah mean? Mitzvah means Torah Shabbat. And that's how you have to understand the word mitzvah. If you understand mitzvah to mean anything else, you're reading incorrectly, and you're misunderstanding. Right? So if you look at the other Mepharshim, they don't necessarily buy into this, right? But basically, the Rambam says, what is mitzvah? That's Torah Shabbat. So this is very important for some reason that we have to think of, when we think of Torah Shabbat, what words should come to mind? Mitzvah. Why is it so important? Right? Why is it so important that this is called, why is it just called Torah Shabbat? Right? And why do we have to know that it's mitzvah? Right? So that makes it even stranger that the Rambam says that his first statement is Kola mitzvos shemidu lo l'moshe v'sina b'perush ha-mitzvah. That all these mitzvos that Moshe was given were given with their perish. Hold on a second. You just said mitzvah is perish. Mitzvah, sir, you got, meaning the Rambam very clear about it. Even the Mitzvah Shita brings us to go all the way back to the Hakdama to the Yad and find out what the mitzvah means, right? So that contradiction has to be explained, right? So it's a pretty big stira. Okay. If you use the Rambam's definition of mitzvah, you'd be saying that Moshe Rabbeinu received the explanation of Torah Shabbat with an explanation. But how many explanations is he going to have? I know that. Sort of the way that things have progressed in the Torah, Mishnah, and that really just, to help us understand Torah Shabbat, and we have the Gemara, we explain that, and we have Rashi, and Tosfos, and we have every, one page on top of the other, and what does Rashi mean, so we need another page, we have to go to Marasha, right? So we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So he didn't need so many perushim, right? He didn't have the Talmud Bavli to worry about. Okay, so we also didn't have the Rambam to worry about. So now we're stuck. We have to worry about the Rambam to be able to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Okay, so what is this? So what's going on? It really is an idea. There's the Rambam is poking it up in the these are the mitzvahs that Moshe received on Sinai. In other words, there's a special status to these mitzvahs as opposed to a mitzvah. Well, of course, we're not going to talk about mitzvahs that were the Shah. Those are the other mitzvahs that were reserved, like the mitzvah of first mitzvah to Avram, that we're not talking about. We're talking about the mitzvahs of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a special idea of those mitzvahs. So that's the focus. That's the whole focus of our system of Tariq mitzvahs. I'm not even saying that view of doesn't have a period. I mean, we don't go back to the mitzvah which Avram. In other words, why would you eat mitzvah? Only because Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded that Sinai. Right. Well, I'm just saying, because the Rambam is focusing in on, you can't just say, call mitzvahs with the Rusha with you, right? I mean, you have to, what are we talking about? We're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, we're talking about Sinai, right? There's an idea that it was Sinai, that seems off though. Because also notice this pasuk, what is this pasuk talking about? What's the context? Sinai. Notice the Rambam doesn't, which we will talk about another time, but the Rambam doesn't talk about, in other words, what about later on, after Sinai? It sounds like sometimes it seems as if Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving a mitzvah then, right? So, in other words, we're focusing in on Sinai. There's an idea of Sinai as opposed to any other place, any other time. Okay, I'm open to alternative explanations of what Perish means, right? Other Perishim of Perish, but we don't want to go too far. You know, Perish has something to do with the idea of explanation. In other words, we could define that definition. We can make it more specific or more general, right? We can localize it a little bit more. But we can't go totally away from the idea of explanation. The idea of what? When it says called the person who wants to see the creation, it means all the people who are given along with their understanding. But how can Moshe Rabbeinu have received mitzvahs and not understood them? Okay, you're saying, what do you say?
They're not sort of empty actions.
You assume if Hashem is commanding him to do mitzvahs, they're not empty actions. God doesn't just tell people to do, take this, take a shovel of dirt, walk 3 feet, put it over there, come back, doesn't tell you to do pointless activities. That'd be known just, in other words, just from the fact that it's a mitzvah Hashem, I know that that this must be in line with the ultimate good. This must be something which is,
understand.
In other words, just like when we look at nature and say, this is God's creation, we expect there to be some sort of lawfulness to it and some comfort. So, mitzvah too, if it's a mitzvah from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we have to say the same thing by that. We say there's some chachma behind this thing, just like when we look at nature, we say there's some chachma and the law behind this thing. Right?
We don't necessarily understand it.
We don't necessarily understand it. So,
I could very easily say,
are you saying that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand the mitzvah when he was given it?
Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. No, I'm saying he did.
So, why didn't he appear? Because God gave Moshe the mitzvahs
with their understanding.
How can he give it any other way? How can he give him the mitzvahs in the way that he was given mitzvahs and the way that he didn't understand them?
By doing the mitzvahs, we better ourselves.
Right. Okay, in other words, saying there's mitzvahs and then there's understanding. That's what Pharaoh means.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but hold on a second. What about our sphera? The Raman defines what mitzvah is. He says that mitzvah is perish. So now we're going to begin again saying that, in other words, how can we go away from the Raman's definition of mitzvah? Raman says, what is mitzvah? Mitzvah is perish, right? It's perish of source of itself. But then he says, and his first statement was, that all the mitzvahs that were given to Moshe and Sinai were given with their perish. So we're left with a impossibility that, in other words, he's trying to prove that mitzvahs are perish by telling us that mitzvah means perish. And it's a very hard thing to say. And he's trying to tell us that there's two parts. So he says there's Torah, and there's mitzvah. What's mitzvah? That's the perish. But he's trying to tell us that mitzvah requires perish. So he tells us the mitzvah is the perish. We want to know mitzvah has perish, not that mitzvah is the perish. Right, that's our sphere.
And you're saying that the mitzvah with regard to...
We don't want to be changing midstream what mitzvah means. We want, on one end, we want to know, we could just say, mitzvah means two absolutely different things. Here it means one thing, here it means something absolutely different. Right? We could say that. But we're seeking in some way that these two things are not absolutely contradictory, and in some way, mitzvah is perish. Can be used as the thing that means perish, and mitzvah is also the thing which requires perish, right? So, we need to attack that sphere, right? We have to attack that sphere.
Well,
if we change the word perish and replace it, we'll never know what we're talking about.
You think perish pretty much means interpretation?
So, perish means interpretation.
And that has different ramifications
based on... So the thing, mitzvah requires interpretation, was given with interpretation.
Yes.
So then the Rambam has to prove, wants to prove that mitzvah, what is the Rambam, trying to prove something, right? He wants to prove that, so according to you, parent means interpretation. The Rambam wants to prove that mitzvah was given with its interpretation. So then he quotes this passage which is supposed to be proven. Does he prove that mitzvah comes with interpretation by saying there's Torah and mitzvah and Torah is Torah Shabbat and mitzvah is Perusha? Doesn't sound like it. Where's mitzvah and Perush? Suddenly, the mitzvah is the Perush. Right? What's going on? Right? So it seems there has to be some sort of shift in the usage of the term. Otherwise, you're left with a complete paradox. It's impossible. But they tell you a good reason why this was shipped. See, in other words, when you read so it sounds like there's two, in the beginning there's two things. There's mitzvah, and in this mitzvah there's pirush. So what we look for in proof, we look for mitzvah and pirush. What we find in Torah, we have pirush of mitzvah, and we have mitzvah, which is pirush. Right? So in other words, what shifts? It sounds like, in other words, mitzvah becomes the pirush. So in other words, paralleling mitzvah means we have Torah. Right? And paralleling pirush sounds like we have mitzvah. But that leads us back to our problem. Right? So we have to work on it. Maybe we could tackle this from another standpoint, talk about why were the mitzvahs, in other words, try to understand how could it be this idea that mitzvahs were given with pirush. That sort of seems to reflect on the fact that the mitzvah seems to be that it's given that it's incomplete. In other words, one or the other. Just give one thing. It doesn't demand pirush. In other words, pirush seems to imply a lack, right? You need pirush. In other words, pirush seems to imply, in other words, that your mind is acting on a certain object of thought, and in some way, that object is distant from your understanding, and you need to take certain steps in order to remedy that situation. In order that you can actually come to know what that object is. Right? So what kind of thing is this? Let's talk about we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, received the Torah. So wouldn't it be an odd thing? Let's talk about Moshe as a Navi. Wouldn't it be odd if, as a Navi, he gets mitzvot, he gets commandments, and then he gets pirushim? You know, just give me one thing, a mitzvah, which is fully understandable. Well, it seems that it is two things. I'm only saying it's two things, because Raman seems to be trying to prove that it's two things. He's trying to prove what these two things are. Yeah. It almost sounds like that. He's like, he got mitzvahs, and Sinai did the Yerushan mitzvah. But even to call it Peresh, Peresh seems to imply a lack of understanding. So it's the normal way you understand Peresh. Why do you need Peresh? Because you know it's something which is not clear, and now you need some way of bridging that gap. Right? Yeah. You want to know what is this bit? You think like this? Yeah. Okay, so it's true. You know, it seems, what's the Rambam trying to indicate when he says that it's given with their parish? It's just saying he's given the first and their parish. We do have to understand what's the idea in Torah that we have, that we're not just given something simple, clear to us. We're given two parts. Right? That's not the same. We're not simple, that we're clear to us. In other words, we don't need further explanation.
You have to understand why you need it, why you have the explanation of
Did Moshe Rabbeinu, when he received mitzvahs, did he read something? How did Moshe Rabbeinu receive mitzvahs? Did Moshe Rabbeinu, when he learned the mitzvahs the first time, when he received them from Moshe Rabbeinu, did he read something?
No.
He didn't read anything. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't read something. Moshe Rabbeinu received a prophecy. Afterwards, he wrote something down. Right? Let's remember. He wrote down what he was told. Right? He wrote down. So let's just remember there's two steps here. In other words, there's Moshe Rabbeinu the Navi receiving mitzvahs. Right? And then there's the way that we learn mitzvahs. Okay? There's two things. Right? There's most, there's, well, you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. You talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to talk about one thing. You talk about us, there's going to be something else. In terms of Moshe.
Quality and,
let's call it Moshe. Right? In other words, he didn't. How do we receive mitzvahs? Do we have prophecy and we're told what the mitzvahs are?
Yeah, no.
Which is the
we read from Moses' explanation of the prophecy.
Yeah.
Well,
we read from his explanation of the prophecy.
No. Yeah. We got told in Canaan what he was told.
Right.
Not
his
explanation.
Right. Right. What's written down is not an explanation. What's written down is his Torah. Right?
Not Moses. What we read the Torah.
In his own hand, this was a product of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is not, in other words, go from intellect, no, go from idea to thought into it. Right? So you can ask. In other words, well, how did Moshe then receive mitzvahs?
Straight
from God. So he received mitzvahs straight from God.
Are you saying
so? No. There's maybe one small difference. That we have to say there's a difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's reception of mitzvahs and B'nai Israel's reception of mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu did not receive, as the Rambam is explaining, where he talks about Persha B'Tzah and Persha B'Alpeh, the Rambam did not read something and then have a whole, and then have a curse in my past.
Right?
It wouldn't make sense. Not that, clearly not that. Right? And that's, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down his prophecy, and people would write it down and they would be explained. Right? When Yitzchak writes down the Mesa Makaba, right? We're reading the description of his prophecy. That's his prophecy in writing. Should we understand it the way Yitzchak does it?
No.
No, otherwise we'd be having to do it. Right? So, we don't understand Moshe Merkava. So, Moshe Rabbeinu received mitzvahs. Right? Did Moshe Rabbeinu need Kadosh when he received mitzvahs to understand them? That wouldn't make too much sense. Right? So, we're going to reject that for now. So what does it mean in other words, there's two kinds of Nevi'ah. Right? In other words, most of the Rambam talks about two different types of Nevi'ah. So one Nevi'ah, which is where the Navi receives Nevi'ah for his own benefit and for his own protection. There's also an idea of the Navi, who's a Shia. The idea is he sent to a certain nature. In other words, it's not, the Nevi'ah is not just for his own personal protection, but it's for the benefits of the people of the nation. Right? So now, what kind of Nevi'ah was Moshe Rabbeinu receiving? It was a Nevi'ah for the people. In other words, so that they could be, I'm Sigul, I'm Kalam, I'm Kadosh. I'm Kadosh. Right? So in other words, he was given these two components, not for his own sake. In other words, he was given a two-tiered system, because this is a nevuah for the nation. In other words, he's given mitzvot with their pirush. With the pirush for his own understanding? Yeah. In other words, the pirush was the second system. In other words, what does it mean to say Rishon? In other words, there are two systems. There's that idea, the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And there's Pirush. In other words, the Pirush is only there because of the Yah. Right? And that's why he quotes the Rambam, quotes the Pasuk, with Moshe Rabbeinu going back up to Har Sinai to receive the Nuchos of Heaven, HaKorah HaMitzvah. In other words, that was the Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to receive in order to tell the B'nai Israel what they're going to be trying to do. In other words, and that's why he quotes the mitzvah. In other words, you have Torah, that's first of itself. The mitzvah of that period. In other words, what's he trying to prove? In other words, what's he trying to prove from his first statement? But there was this idea of a two-tiered system. Maybe we'll explain next time. In other words, so how would you turn mitzvah changing its, how does mitzvah go from being, mitzvah is the parish, or is the mitzvah the thing which the parish is on? So next time, I think with this step, though, I think we'll be able to explain.